Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Daf Kuf Zayin in Menachos. All right, so we're almost finished up with Kuf Vav. We started yesterday exploring a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Remember yesterday we dealt with the Mishnah. We've been dealing with this Mishnah now for a couple of days, and the Mishnah brought in a number of scenarios of neder where he's not 100% sure what he said. Right? He knows he has a vague memory of he has a clear memory of making a neder, and he has a clear memory of saying that he offered one type of mincha, but then when it comes time to remembering which mincha it is that he said, so that he forgot. So what's the halacha? Let's do it this way. I'm sorry. Let's take it back. Right. That's sort of the second case of the Braisa. Let's go back to the first case in the Braisa. He said an amount, okay, and he forgot how much he actually said. So the opinion of the Chachamim is not a big deal. In other words, well, it's a big deal, but it's the solution set is pretty simple. What you're going to do, according to the Chachamim, is make a mincha made up of 60 esronim. Right, your standard mincha is going to be one isaron, but he knows he said an amount. He just doesn't know what amount he said. So you make a 60. 60 is the maximum number of esronim that can make up one mincha, and you'll make the following declaration: whatever I said is incorporated in this 60, and the remainder, obviously, there's going to be more than 60. The remainder is just simply an adava. Okay, that is the opinion of the Chachamim. Rebbe said no. He was kovea. He already established it to be in a particular kli. He doesn't know how much the amount it actually is. So he's going to have to now get 60 separate kalim. He's going to fill each kli with a varying amount of flour. One kli is going to get one isaron. Second kli is going to get two isaronim, etc., etc., all the way to the point where he gets to 60. And once he gets to 60, and then he's going to have to bring all that. And good. That's the opinion of Rebbe. So what we did yesterday, and what we're going to continue to do today, is what's the machlokus? Right? What are they arguing about? So as I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara is going to come up with several suggestions in terms of what is the machlokus between the two of them. So let's go back. Let's go back to Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. Let's start the Gemara's question again. B'mayka Miflugi. We are in Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, taking a little step backwards, and we're going to take a step forward today as well. And we're going to start in the Gemara's discussion. It is the second wide line of the page, second word in the line, by my kamifli. What is the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim? So I'm Rav Chista b'motlach nischun lazar kamifli. So the first presentation of the machlokas is offered by Rav Chista, and he says that the whole machlokas between the two is based on, are you allowed to bring chulin into the azara? Meaning Rav Chista starts with an assumption that whatever is over and above the number that he stated is not going to be an adava, but rather it's just simply going to be chulin. Are you allowed to bring chulin into the azara? So Rabbi Savar also lachnis chulin azara. Rabbi Savar mutal lachnis chulin azara. And the Gemara suggests that this is now the machlokus between the two, whether you are or not allowed to bring chulin into the azara. As I mentioned yesterday, two points to consider. Number one, just to review what we saw yesterday. Number one, generally speaking, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to bring chulin into the azara, meaning an animal that's not consecrated. So you're not allowed to bring it into the azara. Certainly not allowed to shecht it. That's an isser min haTorah to shecht an animal that's not consecrated in the Beis HaMikdash, but even to bring it into the azara itself, everyone agrees to. Over here, the mitigating factor is it's coming in conjunction with a mincha, so maybe it's a mitigating factor. That's one point to consider. The other point to consider, which Rashi dealt with, is how do you do kamitza? Meaning, I have 60 isaron of flour, of which a certain amount is going to be actual mincha, and the rest of it's not going to be mincha. So how do you do kamitza? Meaning, you put your hand inside, you're going to take a kometz, and you're going to burn it on the mizbeach, and how do you know that which you've taken for the kometz is actually going to be the actual mincha and not the chulin? So as Rashi told us, Rashi dealt with this issue yesterday, and Rashi told us is that when it comes to doing the kamitza, so the kamitza is done with a certain amount of das, with a certain amount of kavana. Meaning the Kohen, so to say, can navigate his hand through the mincha in order to get just the mincha and not the non-consecrated part. Okay?
Very simple question about Rebbe. Why is Rebbe not bringing the linen to the Hazara?
Why is he not allowed to?
Why is he not? Why in his shita bringing the more?
Because when you... Okay, fine. Yeah, because when you bring all those kalim, so now you can simply... Now it's not a mixture of chulin and mincha. They're all menachos. All of them are going to be menachos. Of those 60, one of them will satisfy your neder, and the other will be nedava. Okay, plain and simple. Okay, most of those are Rava Amar Dekuli Amar Asalachnis Chul Lazar. So Rava says, no, I disagree. It is absolutely, established, agreed upon, that no, you're not allowed to bring chulin into the azar. The machlokus is exactly what Rav Chista thought. No, you can't do. But Rava says no. That's the actual machlokus. Can I mix neder and nedava? Meaning, I have a certain neder. I've dedicated a certain amount to the base of Mikdash. I don't know what that number is. Okay, let's say it's 30, but I don't know. So if I take 60 isaron, so can I say 30 of it is neder and 30 of it is nedava? So the Chachamim said, yeah, you could do exactly that. And you'll mix neder and nedava. And according to Rebbe, you can't mix neder and nedava. So Rabban Savi Mutal Arif Chovim and Nedava, Rebbe Savi Asal Arif Chovim and Nedava. Amalei Abai LaRava, LaRabban Dami Mutal Arif Chovim and Nedava, Habi Nishnei Kamatzim. So now, this is an issue that we dealt with at the end of yesterday's daf. Yeah, how are you doing Kamitza? I have 60 isarna flour, some of it's neder, some of it's nedava, which means that they are two separate menachos mixed together. So how am I doing kamitza? So shnei kamatzim dekamitz v'had dekamitz. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, I'll do kamitza and I'll do kamitza again. So the Gemara says it's not going to work over here. Kamitz mechova anedava menedava chova. So the Gemara says, aren't you doing kamitza from the chovah to the dove and vice versa? So the Gemara says, "V'tali v'de b'das kohen." Damakol hecha damachi yada de kohen hashta chovah ulavasof nedava. So the Gemara says, as Rashi pointed out, and Rashi got it from the Gemara, Cohen's hand navigates. Cohen's hand, when he goes into the flour, so when he's taking for the chovah, he's saying, this is for the chovah. When he's taking for the nedava, he's saying, this what I'm taking right now is for the nedava. Good. Then the Gemara takes us to the next step of the process, which is the burning of the kometz. How do you burn? The ikture hecha makdir. So likter nedava beresha dechova. So you have two kometzes now, right, held by two separate kohanim. So which one are you going to burn? Well, the Gemara says, look, if you burn the nedava first, and then afterwards you burn the chova, that's no good. Hecha makdir la dilma kula chovahi. Because remember, the whole thing may be a chova. The magic number you may have said may have been 60. Okay? Which means now that none of it's nedava. So that which you're holding in your hand is not really a kometz. V'chazru l'shirayim. And not only that, but you've now depleted the shirayim. V'amamar shirayim shechazru ben kometz la'tarei makter kometz aleim. So likter chova v'resha. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's burn the chova first, but that's not going to help either. The nedava hech makdale, because how are you going to burn the nedava, meaning the other comments that you're holding in your hand? It may be that you should not be burning it. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Berei, the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, the Masik Lulashem Eitzim. So the Gemara suggests like this. Here's what you'll do. You'll take out two comments. One is for the chova, one's for the nedava. The one that you're going to burn first is the kometz for the chova. Okay. Now you have one more kometz held in your hand. Now, it may be one of two things. It may be either the kometz are for the nedava, okay, or the other possibility is it's simply part of the shirayim. You're not allowed to burn shirayim on the mizbeach. When you burn on the mizbeach, you say to yourself like this, if it's in fact shirayim, I'm not burning it l'shem mincha, I'm burning it l'shem eitzim. Can you do that? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can. Ucha Rabbi Eliezer, detanya Rabbi Eliezer, omer, l'reich nechochi atamala, aval atamala l'shem eitzim. Yes, he says l'shem eitzim. If you want to burn it for the sake of wood, that you are, in fact, allowed to do.
But why isn't Rabbanon relying on Rabbi Eliezer?
Yeah, in other words, correct.
Because, I mean, he was a Shemutin, and they rejected him.
Right, correct. This explanation, this... You only need to do this if you subscribe to Rava's explanation. Meaning, if you're going to give another explanation of the Machlokas, which the Gemara is about to do, so then you don't need to come on to this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But you're correct. It would seem to be that the weak point of Rava's argument, would seem to be, is that in order to get to where he's at, he now has to rely on Rabbi Eliezer's position. Okay.
What's wrong with Rabbi?
Nothing wrong with him, except for the fact that he was excommunicated. Nothing's wrong with him, but generally speaking, throughout Shas, he's not the accepted position. Right, usually when he's presented as a yachid, and usually he's not the accepted position. And so over here, to make the chachamim work, in order to do the haktara, we need to rely on his position, Rabbi Elazar's position, and it's just usually the place where we don't want to be. Okay, so v'dilma dekuli amay motel arif chova ben adava. Sorry, amar le Rav Acha brei de Rav le Rav Ashi v'dilma dekuli amay motel arif chova ben adava. So maybe the Gemara now is offering, this is our third way of explaining the machlokis between the Chachamim and Rebbe. First way is Rav Chista and Chulin Bazara. Second way is Rava, are you allowed to mix Neder and Adava together? Third possibility is like this. V'hacha b'de Rebbe Elezer kamifligi. The Rabbanan Islay the Rebbe Elezer, the Rebbe Leislay the Rebbe Elezer. The Gemara says maybe the whole machlokis is whether or not we subscribe to the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, can I burn the nedava, the komets of the nedava, thinking to myself that, look, if it's not the nedava, no problem, I'll just simply burn it like wood. I have in mind that it's wood. Meaning, can I actually subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer? And the Gemara says that may in fact be the machlokas between the two. All right, so that, I take it back, it's not really a new way of understanding the machlokas, it's just simply a rewording, a repackaging, so to say, of what Rava presented. So, Amalei Yisaka, Dachala Rabbi, Motulari, Chova, Benadaba, Rabbi Eliezer, Leslei, Efshe, Damaisi, Shisim, Bechad, Mana, Bechad, Bechad, Mana, Umagalohu, Bechametz, The Gemara makes one other suggestion, not one other, but on this position that according to Rebbe, where you're allowed to mix Chova with Nedava, but you don't subscribe to Rebbe Eliezer, so here's what maybe you could do. Take 60 in one mana, take one in the other mana, have the two touch one another, and do Kemitza. And what do you gain by doing that? So number one now, you didn't mix Chul and Azara together, right? In other words, they were separated from one and the other. And how else?
What do you accomplish by touching each other?
So that way they're somewhat connected.
Is that just the Kli?
No. Yeah, and the two separate Kalim. Isahu Efshar the Maisi Shishmachaman Vachad Bachanman Rashi the Kamit Migadal Beresha Umasna. Ikula Chova Shapi Vilo had the Kamit Allah the Mechova. My the Kamit Mikliacha Lehaveahu Isaran Los and Adava. Nevish Bikliacha Umaga Magala Rosha Kilm Zebetazek Kedeshiga Rosha Haklasa Zula Sadu. Kihechi Delishu Nadava. Kihechi Delishu Nadava. The Bikli Gadal Kometz. The Bikli Cotton Umak Yehova Hadan and Adar. Dinami havi kamaisa kol kli gado chova ravelu shiraim shechasu de mahani shisin de bechanman lo shaka velo midi michi shako komet kama. All right, let me come back to this. I'll come back to this a little bit later. Let me go over this again a little bit later in terms of understanding what exactly how exactly the context is going to help. Okay, Rava Amar de kuli ama mutala arev chova ben adava. Okay, Rava sets it up like this. Everyone subscribes to the viewpoint that you're allowed to mix chov and adava. Udekule ame islahu de Rebbe Elazar. And interestingly enough, everyone subscribes to Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. V'halcha beplukta de Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov v'rabban kamifelgi. So here we go now. Another approach to understanding the machlokas between the chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer. Did not. Afilu mincha shashishim misaron nosin la shishim log. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov amar afilu mincha shashishim misaron ein la ela luga. Gemara says like this. Right. Up until now, we varied in terms of the amount of flour, right? In other words, if you give a standard mincha, it's one isaron. If you give, if you want, you can make it two isaron. If you want, you can make it 60 isaron. Okay, question, simple question. How much oil do you put in?
Depends where you have.
Okay, so, right, up until this point in the Gemara, our assumption pretty much has been going on is that you put one log of oil. Meaning the only thing that really fluctuates is going to be the flour, but the oil is a constant one load. So the Gemara now is introducing us to the idea that not everyone agrees to that. right? If you have 50, I'm sorry, if you have 60 Yisaron, so you put in 60 log of oil. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, you leave it at one log. Shenamar lemincha v'log shemen. Rabbanu savri karabbanu dami shishim log v'chol chavechad Yisaron luga. So the Gemara says, now it comes out that according to the Chachamim, so you're fine now, because you have 60 Yisaron of oil, and 60 log of shemen. V'Rebbe Saver K'Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Dama Ein La Ela Luga V'Lo Yadin An Ichad Amin Chayhi D'Sagila B'Chad Log O Shtei Menachos Neinu D'Be'in Shnei Lugin. Ah, so now it comes out. Now the Gemara says we have a pshat in Rebbe. Rebbe says, look, you want to mix Neder and Adava together, that's fine. And as far as the Kemitz is concerned, I subscribe to Rebbe Eliezer, where I'll take the second Kometz.
It's Rebbe
saying. This is Rebbe talking. Burn it on the Mizbeach, and if I need to, in other words, if it needs to be just considered like wood, we could do that as well. The issue over here, according to Rebbe, is the following. Every mincha has only one log of shemen. Oh. So if this is one mincha, meaning if my number that I actually stated was 60, and this is one mincha, so how many logim would this require? One. If it was two minachos, why would it be two? Because I stated a number less than 60. I stated a number of 57, 58, whatever, any number less than 60. If this is two minachos, how many log shemen does this require? Two log shemen.
Because
they're two separate minachos mixed together. Meaning, the pshat is, according to Rebbe, I simply don't know, meaning because I subscribe to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, I simply don't know how much oil to put in.
So
should I put in one log, or should I put in two log? Okay, fine. That is our third approach of the machlokas. We're up to number four. Rabbi Ashi Amar.
It's easier to handle, because if it's two log, you just bring a second log as offered as
right.
as a nadav or
correct. It's a very simple way to explain the machlokas. It's a good way. Rabbi Ashi Amar b'kan behevi gadlo kamiflagi. Okay, last one on the table for discussion. Last approach of the Gemara is the following. I commit myself to a small carbon. Can I now bring a large carbon? Meaning in. Right, in two Mishnahs from now, we're going to discuss exactly this issue. I'm on the hook. I make a neder, a personal vow, that I will bring a katan, but I declare it small. And instead of small, I go large. Now, we could say that in so many different contexts, meaning we could talk about that in terms of an animal, meaning I say a smaller animal, and instead I bring a large animal. Or we could talk like right now, meaning I said 30 Yisaron, and I decide, you know what? I just want to go bigger. And I want to bring 60. Can I say now that my larger animal satisfies my vow? Because look, in other words, you made a pledge to the shul and you said you're going to give the shul $100. And instead you gave the shul $200. Are you going to get a phone call from the shul? And is the shul going to say to you, no, I'm sorry, you only pledged
$100. No, but you gave
$100. Right, we can't take the $200 from you because that's $100 over what you pledged.
Then how you look at it? You could say that $100 was included,
$100 was
another $100,
right?
Or you could say the $100 wasn't given. You have to give that $100.
All right, good. Okay, good. So, right, we all know. Meaning, you know, with a little bit of a grin on our face, we all know the shul's not going to call us, and they're not going to complain. Meaning, because that's fine. In the world of karbanos, however, does that satisfy your neder? You went small on your neder, and then you delivered big. So, which is nice, it's laudable. But the question is, does that satisfy your neder? So, Rabbanan Sarvei, Kan Vehebi Gadu Yatzav, Rebbe Sarvei Lo Yatzav. So the Gemara says, so now this is an explanation of the machlokas over here. Meaning, I went with a number. Now, I don't know what the number is. The number is somewhere between 1 and 60. And I know I said a number, and I don't remember what I said. And let's say I said 15. Let's say I said 20. Okay. And then what happens is...
60.
Right, I brought 60. So according to the Chachamim, you're fine. Because included in that 60 is that 20.
But that still doesn't address the issue of their debate between how do you account for the rest and how do you deal with it. This is just...
No, this is...
So just whether it's permissible to bring more and
no, this will be good. Meaning, if when you said 20, and a 60 sermon will cover your 20 neder, so then you're good.
What's the extra 40 looked upon as? What do you look at it?
Just simply
as a
hider mitzvah, as the purification of your mitzvah.
No, but
it's viewed as your original neder. Just simply you augmented to your original neder.
But you couldn't do that with the designated animal.
You could. Well, as we'll see in just a moment, we'll see two Mishnahs from now, it's machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe. Also, the Gemara. So now the Gemara is going to say, wait a second. Wait a second. All you need to do is just wait till later this morning, and we're going to get to the Mishnah, God willing, and we're going to see the Mishnah together, and the Mishnah is going to tell us that's a machlokes. And by the way, who is that a machlokes between? As the Chachamim and Rebbe. So the Gemara says, it's so funny. This is now our fourth explanation of the machlokes. First of all, it seems to be perfect because the Chachamim and Rebbe are aligned with one another. The Chachamim say that if you dedicate small, if you make a commitment of a smaller carbon and you bring a larger carbon, you're yotzi, you fulfilled your obligation. And Rebbe says no. If you made a dedication of a smaller animal, you got to stick with the smaller animal. So it happens to be that the two line up perfectly. So the Gemara over here is kind of like annoyed. Like, why would the Chachamim and Rebbe argue both times? Meaning, give it to me later on, and then you won't need it to give it to me again. Right? And it is interesting that Rav Ashi, of all the Amoraim, I mean, we've so far gone through Rav Chista and Rava, and Rav Ashi is the first one to make the suggestion. Clearly, the Gemara...
But I think it's based on this approach, everything else resolves then, if you go by your Ravonan.
Correct.
If everything else is considered as part of your letter,
correct.
Then you don't have to deal with the issue of what you...
Correct, correct. All the Gemara's discussion about how to do the Haktara and how to burn the Haktara, that becomes absolutely resolved. Absolutely correct. It is... I'm just pointing out, it's such a straightforward way of explaining the Machlokas... that the Gemara says it's like too easy. It's too...
it's simplified.
Right.
In terms of what the last machlokes, what the Rebbe's position is that you actually would get a phone call from the shul say the 200 is fine, but you haven't satisfied your 100, so it keeps the 200 plus the 100 it requires?
I don't know. Meaning, here by carbon, it's right. This is where the analogy is not good. Because here by carbon, if the larger one doesn't satisfy your neder, so whatever you gave, and you got to go back now, you got to do it again. Right.
So right. You actually get a phone call from the shul.
Right, you get a phone call from the shul saying thank you so much for the 200. Now let's talk about your original commitment. Okay. Right.
You might get that anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I hear that.
They do that.
I hear that. Did not we learned in the Mishnah, and we will learn the Mishnah that's coming up in today's daf. Cotton baby gadol yatsa rebbe amar lo yatsa. So the Gemara now wants to know tzricha. No, I'm sorry. The Gemara is going to suggest, look, let's stay with Rav Ashi's explanation, and I'm going to explain to you why they need to debate this issue in the world of Karbanos, which is on Kuf Zayin, today's daf, and in the world of Menachos, which is yesterday's daf, which we're still doing today. They eat it, Rabbi Haba, Kamer Rabbi Mishum, the Edi, Edi, Kometu, Ava Hasam, Delo, Dekan Nefishi, Imurin, Ema Modele Lerebi. Here, by Menachos, the Chachamim have a strong point in that towards the Mizbeach gets the same amount. There is no variable when it comes to the Mizbeach. How much does the Mizbeach get? One kometz. So whether your mincha is one isaron or whether it's 60 isaron, there is a constant in that the Mizbeach gets one kometz. So here the Chachamim will tell you, yeah, you're still Yotze because you have not changed your pledge vis-a-vis the Mizbeach.
But the ratio has changed, though.
No.
The comments that you take, no. one comment out of 60 versus one comment out of 20, the ratio of that comment...
But it doesn't matter. The comments is a constant.
The
comments is a constant.
The comments is a constant, but its ratio is variable, and you could argue that the Mizbeach could
correct.
Be sensitive to that
correct.
Ratio.
But you're... Okay, maybe. Right, because it is... Right, it is more flour than oil. Okay, perhaps. Let me think about that. But from the Gemara is just simply saying, from a volume perspective,
right.
The Mizbech did not get shortchanged. The volume is a constant. So that's where the Chachamim in the world of Menachos have a stronger point. In the world of Karbanos, you bring a larger animal, the Mizbech actually is getting more. Meaning, because what does the Mizbech get? So if it's not an Ola, if it's just a Shlamim, they get the Imurim, the insides. But still, there's the insides of a bird. Well, actually, no insides of the bird go on the Mizbech. But there's the insides of a smaller animal, and then there's the insides of a larger animal. It actually is quantifiably more. Okay. And same thing, meaning And now if I have all I have is the Mishnah later on, Kuf Zion, so then I can understand how Rebbe argues with the Chachamim. But over here, Rebbe may capitulate to the Chachamim, so Kamash Malan.
But the thing is, in terms of animals, how could you have like a shear for what the size of an animal is to say that this is small and this is large? I mean, there's no such
thing. No, because
monopoly gets.
Well, we're going to learn in just a moment there is shear when it comes to animal. You'll see. You'll see. We'll get to the Mishnah. You'll understand it better. Harei alai eitzim. Okay? And now, we are just going to stay. We're moving on to the next Mishnah. We're going to stay on theme, which is, I make a neder. I make a personal obligation to the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you on the hook for? So let's say, I make a personal pledge. I'm going to bring wood. And I don't say the word eitz. I say eitzim. Okay, so what does that mean? Lo yivchos mishnei gzirim, two blocks of wood. We're going to learn when we get to Midos or Tamid, I forgot which one of them, but we're going to learn that two blocks of wood are brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash and put onto the Mizbech, and that provides fuel for the fire. You may need more, but minimum two blocks of wood every day. The blocks are actually cut into one square amma.
In terms of the prior Mishnah, what's the bottom line? Is it a Chachamim or
I assume Chachamim, and I don't know. Usually machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe. Yeah, the Rambam goes like the Chachamim. Okay, so that's one with 60.
So it solves everything then.
I mean, solves everything. Just, you know, takes a side on the issue. It doesn't solve the machlokas, but it takes a side. Let's say I want to bring Levona to the Beis HaMikdash. I pledge, right? Everyone's shul is going around, and you know, they're asking, you know, how much are you going to give? What are you going to give? I'm going to give Levona. So what does that mean? So lo yivchos mikometz. So you bring a kometz of Levona. That's a minimum amount of Levona. And now the Mishnah tells us that in the world of komets, there are five things that are described with the komets. So ha'omer alai lavona, lo yivchos mikomets. So number one is, if you make a commitment to bring lavona, so that's one komets. Ha'menadev mincha yavi ima komets.
The komets has to, that's also dependent on the size of the kohen's fist, right? And so you have to bring more than that, so the guy could put his hand in there and take something. So there's got to be a lot more than that.
I understand your point, but the Gemara just simply says that becomes a shear. That is actually an amount. It's an actual amount. It's a legal amount. Lo yivchos mikometz. I'm not the mincha yavi makometz lavona. If you bring a mincha, so you know you're going to sprinkle kometz on top. So how much kometz do you bring? So one. I'm sorry. You know you're going to sprinkle lavona on top, so how much do you bring? So you bring one kometz. Hamala is a kometz b'chutz chayiv. Another area where kometz comes into play. Let's say you offer outside the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there's a prohibition in the Torah. One is shechting an animal outside, and one is offering any carbon material outside. How much lavona do you have to offer outside in order to be chayiv? So the answer is one kometz. Shnei bezichin tun and shnei kamatzim. And finally, what's four and five? Those are the two spoonfuls that go with the lechem upon him. Those two spoonfuls, how much lavona are placed in the spoonfuls? And the answer is one kometz. Hare alai zahav, you make a declaration, I pledge to bring gold to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayivchos midiner zahav. So now you're on the hook, and you're on the hook for a diner zahav, one golden coin. Kesef lo yivchos midiner kesef. Silver, one coin of silver. How do we know it's a coin? The government's going to ask that very question. Nechoshes lo yivchos mi ma'a kesef. Bronze?
Copper.
Copper? Yeah. So, ma'a kesef. So, okay, so one coin. Perashti v'ene yedea ma perashti. This is the best part of the Mishnah. I made a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, and I made it of gold, and I set an amount, and I forgot what that amount was. Okay.
9,000.
Right. So, this is going to be such an... I don't know if you're going to be satisfied with the way the Mishnah will resolve this issue. Lo, so, Yehei Mevi, Ashiyomer lo lekach niskavanti. Okay, so you give until you basically say, there's no way on the earth I could have said more than this. Meaning, Rashi, Yavi kolkach achi odea be'atzmo shela olam lo lekach niskave. Meaning, know yourself, right? Yizkor appeal. So, I know I committed myself to something about the Yizkor appeal, but I don't know how much I pledged for that Yisker appeal this year. So know thyself, meaning you basically have a good idea of what your range would be in terms of what the minimum would be, what the maximum would be. And now you got to give the maximum of what you normally would give. Tana Rabbanan Karban Malamishim Esnadvim Eitzin V'kamashne Gzirin. So the Gemara here quotes a Braisa, Tosefta. Same discussion that we had in our Mishnah. Wood, by definition, minimum amount is 2 blocks of wood. V'chein Omer V'garolos Yiflinu HaKarban HaEitzin. Pasuk in Nechemya, where when they came back and they built the second temple, so they needed donations desperately. Right? So, Garolos Yiflinu HaKarban HaEitzin. Rabbi Omer Eitzim Karban Haim. Rebbe's of the opinion that if a person dedicates to bring wood, we treat that wood like a carbon. This position of Rebbe, we've seen already a number of times throughout our Masechta. Wood actually is viewed as a carbon, meaning, this is also somewhat comical. Haim tu'unim melach, you have to put salt on it like you have to put on every carbon. Tu'unim hagasha, you need to actually bring it to the mizbeach, have contact with the mizbeach. It's interesting, put it in the klisharis. Right, so Amar Rav Ludivrei Rebbe, eitzim tu'unim kemitza. This is the best one. You got to do kemitza. Wow. Now I have a picture in my mind, right? You'll love the imagery of the karate master, right? taking his hand and putting it through the block of wood in order to do kemitza. Rashi, however, is much more gentler than I am. Rashi says that you're actually going to reduce the wood to sawdust, and if you once you reduce the wood to sawdust. So now it'll be slightly easier to do a kemitza on the sawdust.
So you do that before you make it into an exact amah by amah?
Apparently, according to Rashi, you would do it after you've measured an amah and amah. I guess.
It would burn up completely immediately.
I guess. Okay. Amar Papal Diver Rebbe Eitzim Strichim Eitzim. And not only that, but according to Rebbe, right, if you dedicate wood to the Beis HaMikdash as an offering, so according to Rebbe, so that wood is going to need fuel. So you're going to need wood for your wood. Okay. Now, as far as your Nesachim point, so I'm just thinking out loud, and, you know, could be right, and could be so wrong. I guess the Gemara is not entertaining Nesachim because, at best, we're going to view this as a Mincha type offering. Mincha doesn't have Nesachim attached to it.
What would the Kohanim eat?
Right, and Shirayim, right, I'm just saying, right, in the viewpoint that you need to do Kemitza, what does that mean? The Shirayim? Okay.
But I think maybe can't give the wood to the Kohanim and just give Kemitza to the...
Right, and they'll do what? Meaning normal...
Well, you would for the house.
You have to eat it first.
Okay, I don't know. Right. It takes us to some strange conclusions. Lavana lo yivchos min akamus min alan dechzi veherim mi menu bekumso misolos hamincha umi shamnav es kol halavona. We have officially a hekesh in this one pasuk. The Torah deals with the comets veha lavona and the lavona mekesh lavona la harama. The mincha, maharama, the mincha comets, af levona, nami comets. So, in the pasuk where we talk about the heirimi menu, and you're going to remove from it, which is obviously referring to the comets, and then it also mentions the levona, so that is a tip off that the amount of levona is going to be a comets of levona. Tana rabbana harelai lemizbech, yavi levona, shein lecha davish, krav legabe mizbech, ela levona. I say harelai lemizbech. I'm going to offer something that goes totally and exclusively to the Mizbeach. Interestingly enough, there's only one thing that satisfies that neder, and that's Lavona. Now, wow. Now think it through, and you think to yourself, no, there are other things that go up on the Mizbeach, exclusively on the Mizbeach. What about Ola? Okay? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to deal with that. So, Elavona, Pirashi Veda Dea Ma Pirashi Yavi Mikol Davar Shekrav LeMizbeach. Look, I know I dedicated something to be offered on the Mizbeach, but I forgot what it was, so then you have to actually entertain other things that go up onto Mizbeach. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, Vesu Leika, what? Lavona is the only thing that goes totally on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, Vaika Ola, so first let's contemplate the Ola. So the Gemara says, Ika Ora LeKohanim. Right. By carbonola, you're right. Most of it goes burnt on the mizbech, but not all of it. Remember, every kohen that does that gets to offer the ola gets to take home the hide of that animal. The hide belongs to the kohanim. V'ha'ika ola sa'of. What about the bird ola? So the Gemara says, no, ika mura v'notza. Remember our throw? We throw from right? You know the shortstop throw is longer than the third baseman throw. Right? Yeah. Right. You look. Correct. So the that's nothing to do with nothing. But so Marvin notes Vaika Nisachin. So the Gemara says, okay, there really is nothing else that's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, meaning I understand Ola hide. I understand even the bird Ola, the crop of the bird is thrown into the Makom Hadeshen. Good. What about Nisachim?
But they're poor.
So the Gemara says, Lishisen Azle. Correct. It's not burned on the Mizbeach. Some of the Nisachim is poured down the Mizbeach. So that's no good. The Aika Minchas Nisachim. So the Gemara says, what about Minchas Nisachim? Kevin the Ika Mincha Da'achle Kohanim Ina Lo Psikalei. No. Because if you said Minchas Nisachim, you're right. Minchas Nisachim is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Meaning the flour and oil combination is burnt on the Mizbeach and no part of it goes to the Kohen. But you said unequivocally, right, with no stipulation, I'm going to offer something that's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. You see, Minchas Nesachim is part of the Mincha family. And the Mincha family is not burnt on the Mizbeach. Only a komitz of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. So you're referring to a particular item where nothing else happens but it's burnt on the Mizbeach. And that's, believe it or not, it's funny, after all of Zochin, after all Menachos, if I would have done a brain teaser and I would have said, what's the only thing that's totally burnt on the Mizbeach? And believe it or not, the answer is Lavona. That's the correct answer.
Why are we saying Eitzim?
Right? Eitzim according to Rebbe.
Minchas Kohen.
But Minchas Kohen is part of the Mincha family. So I guess the Gemara will go back to its previous point.
But that's not Shabbat
either. Right.
Does Lavona has any ashes left of it? They're completely burned.
I mean, there are ashes of everything that's left. And so the ashes are removed. But once it gets the ashes, though, it's no longer viewed as, it's done. It's burnt. So the Gemara now says, you said gold, you have to bring a gold coin. Gemara says, what? You just said gold. How do you know it's a coin? So the Gemara, Amar Rav Elazar, Damar Matbeah. So Rav Elazar gives a simple explanation. Yeah, we're going to have to add to the Mishnah that you didn't just say gold, but you said gold coin. Oh, okay, good. Vidima priti, so Amar Papa priti the Havala of Ninshi. Can't be a pruta, can't be a small coin, because generally speaking, we say gold coin, so we mean dinar zahav. Kesav lo yifchos midin, the Gemara is going to have the same exact discussion. Vidilma nascha, maybe it's silver metal. So Amar Avalaz, Dama Madbea, you said the word coin. Vidilma priti, Amar Avsheshes, Ba'asra delosagi priti de kaspa. Generally speaking, silver is not turned into a small pruta coin. Nechoshes lo yifchos mima kesef. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar lo yifchos mit sinura ketana shel nechoshes. If you say nechoshes, you got to bring a ma'a. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara brings a brisa that says that you got to bring a small fork, right? A little like hors d'oeuvre fork, if you will. Lamai chazi Amar Rabbi shemechaten dem ba psilos mekanchem ba neiros. This small fork is helpful not in terms of the mizbeach and that which is thrown on the mizbeach. You know, a small little hors d'oeuvre fork is not going to help you. Right. And to write, try grilling with a small hors d'oeuvre fork. it's really not advisable. So the Gemara says over here it's for the psilos, for the wicks of the menorah. So then this little hors d'oeuvre fork is going to be perfect. Barzal tanya cherem lo yifchos me kal ya'orev. You say barzal, you say iron. Right, you make a dedication, so you got to provide kalya orev. Now I'm going to explain what that is in just a moment. Okay, the kamam Rav Yosef ama al ama. So it's got to be one ama by one ama of copper of I'm sorry of iron. So igadar lo yichos mi ama al ama. The Gemara gives us the same information, but just reverses the way it's presented. If you say iron, you got to bring one arm of one and by one arm of iron. Lamaichazi, Amar Rav Yosef, laKalya Orev. You bring it for Kalya Orev. Okay, what is Kalya Orev? So the word Orev means ravens, and Kalya means get rid of the ravens. In the Beis HaMikdash, on the top of the roof, so they had a Kal Ya'orev, meaning it was some sort of
pointy thing.
Well, I'll explain what it is in just a moment. Let me just leave it all vague. It's some object placed on the roof. By the way, the roof of the second temple was 100 amas high.
Huge.
Yeah, that's really, really high. A 20-story building, or approximately. So they would put some sort of structure on the top in order to get rid of the ravens. What did they put on top? So Rashi describes it. Correct? Yeah, Rashi says over here, Kal Ya'orev, Mismaros Chadin. Nails, sharp nails on the top of the roof. So let me show you Tosos over here. Kal Ya'orev, Perish Bekuntras, Mismaros Chadin, Tochim Beroshgag, Ha'echel, Lakalos Ha'orv, Shalo Yeshualav, Vamakam Acher Perish, Kemin Tavla Chad, Zekufa, Al Sidam, Vechaduda Lachtoch, Kamosakin, some sort of serrated edge on the top of the mizbech to keep the ravens away. Over aruch, just one second. Over aruch erech kol perisha asu kider. I'm sorry, tsura lahavrich ba haofis migag haechal. I'm going to give you an image in your mind, which is just amazing. That on the top of the base of mikdash, the heichal, the actual structure of the base of mikdash, there was a scarecrow. Right, some sort of surah lahavrich baha ofos to keep the birds away. Migagahechal kiderech sheosin achshav shomrei zrayim. Right, you go out to the fields and there's a scarecrow in the field, and the aruch says that's what they had on the top of the Beis Hamikdash. That seems to be strange. Now, the karo so kal ya'orev. Okay, now. This point, whenever you talk about the scarecrow on the top of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to wonder yourself. Meaning, the Beis HaMikdash, the place where the Shekhinah is, there are going to be birds assembling on the Beis HaMikdash. So
what was the purpose of that? Why they wanted to scare away the ravens?
Because they're all
there. The ravens there, it's just, they'll be disruptive and... Right, and
but there are other birds too.
But they didn't need it.
I think ravens over here just simply because those are the ones that generally descended. And then Tosos goes on to write and right the Od Perish Baruch Mikdash Rishon Sheshchina Shuriyabo Loi Hayatrich and Kal Ya'orev. We're going to make the distinction. We make this distinction a lot between Temple One versus Temple Two. Right. Temple One had Shechina. Temple Two
less.
Right,
but it's still had Shekhinah.
But less.
Well, why would they allow?
Correct.
Why would they allow like an idol type object?
Yeah, you're right. That scarecrow imagery, I think, is the strangest one. So Temple One had Shekhinah. Lo hayutzrich and kal ya'orev shelo hava ofes porchin alav. Right. No, they didn't have to worry about birds. Too much Shekhinah. Remember the Gemara in Sukkah talks about Yonasan ben Uziel learning. So when a bird would go fly over the head of Yonasan ben Uziel, so the bird would get burnt up. Now that's Yonasan ben Uziel learning, right? Now if there was a Beis HaMikdash with Shekhinah, you can only imagine, no way the birds will be flying overhead. So that's Temple 1. But then Ava Mikdash Sheni Shelo Haisa Kedushas Kedushas Rishon Hutzruchu L'Kal Ya'orev. But Tosus writes over here, he seems to be quoting the Aruch. Tosus writes over here that for Temple 2, where you had less Shekhinah, okay, to the extent in which we can understand that, where you had less Shekhinah, so therefore they needed scarecrows. Now, again, what exactly it was? So we saw three positions, three opinions, right? Sharp nails, or serrated edges, or even an actual scarecrow, whatever it actually was. But Tosus maintains that it only was for Temple 2, not for Temple 1. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's move ahead. We are at the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah, Hare Alai Yayin. You make a commitment. I'm going to bring wine to the Mizbeach. So, Lo Yivchos Mishlosh Alugin. So, no less than 3 log of wine. That's minimum. Shemen. If you dedicate oil to the base, to the Mizbeach, I'm going to bring oil to the Mizbeach. Now, you'll remember, just a short couple days ago, we had a machlokus whether that's possible. Whether you can actually dedicate oil to the Beis HaMikdash, and Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara presented it as a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva says that you cannot be misnadev shemen, and Rabbi Tarfon says you can. And presumably, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon. Shemen lo yivchos milog. Rabbi Omer shlosha logan. So, machlokis over here, how much oil? 1 versus 3. Now, you understand that machlokis? The Gemara is going to actually explore what that machlokis is, so we'll stay tuned for a moment, and we'll talk about that machlokis. Perashi ve'ene yedema, perashi yavi kiyome ruba. I know I said a number. How much oil or how much wine I'm going to bring, but I forgot what number it is that I said. It was more than one. It was more than three. It was some number. I don't know how much I said. So you have to go to a day where there is a maximum number of karbanos which are brought. And we already know. We did this a couple days ago. That day is going to be first day of Sukkot when it coincides with Shabbos. Right? Maximum number of obligated karbanos. Tanu Rabbanan. Ezrech Malamishim is not Vinyayin. Right, in Parsha Shlach. Okay? So just there. So in Parsha Shlach, the Torah talks about Nesachim. It says Ezrach. Ezrach means that a person that's I guess it's a ribui. Okay? The Gemara darshan that you could bring wine. Bekama Shosha Lugin. Uminayin Shim Ratz Alos. If Yosef, you want to bring more than three log, by all means. Tamalomar. Yeah. Yachal Yivchos. So how about less than three? Tamalomar. Kacha. No, it can't be less than three. Shemen lo yivchos min alog, Rabbi Omer shosh alogim. B'mai kemiflugi. So the Gemara over here says, we've seen this before, this discussion. How do you understand the machlokes between how much oil you should bring? One log versus three log. So I'm Rura, Rabbi Nakame, Dera, Papa, Bedomina, Mina, Bedomina, Vukam, Basra, Kemiflugi. It's how we develop a gzera shava. Don mina, umina. Don mina v'uka ba'asra. Rabbanim sarvei don mina umina. The Chachamim say that you, when the way you develop a gzereshava is don mina umina. You make a gzereshava and you keep going. Meaning, you do not look at the context of the discussion. You just simply just plow through with the gzereshava. Meaning, ma mincha misnadvin af shemen nami misnadvin. Right, just like I can offer a mincha. I can offer oil by itself. Now, when I offer a mincha, how much oil goes into a mincha? One log. So if I donate oil by itself, how much oil should I bring? One log. Rebbe Sarva Dominava Uka Basran. Rebbe says, no. No. We'll make the same gzereshava, but we'll fit it into the context of the discussion. Where is the gzereshava made? On the parsha of Nisachim. Now, in the world of Nesachim, what's the minimum amount of oil? Three logan. So, ma mincha misnadvin, avshem enami misnadvin, v'uki basra, kinesachim, anesachim, shoshel logan, avshem enami shoshel logan. Okay? So, this is the first presentation of the machlokes. How to make a gzereshava, domina mina versus domina v'uka basra. Amalu rapapa imi mincha gamala, rabbi dekule amalo pligi. Domina umina. Rav Papa says no. Everyone subscribes to the view of domina umina. You just go through with the gzeres shava. Al Rebbe me ezrach gamir le. Rebbe, actually, he learns it from the word ezrach. So I'm the Rav Hunabrei, the Rav Nassel, the Rav Papa, Umi Matzis Armes Hachiv Atanya, Karben Melam Mishem Is Nadvin Shemen Vekamer Shoshel Lugin. So we have a brayse, and the brayse says that we don't learn it from the word ezrach. We learn it from the extra word karban. So man shamalei damer shoshel lugin, Rabbi v'kamai filei me karban. So we know it's Rabbi because it says three lugin, and he learns that from karban, not from the word ezrach. Amalei tanya tanya, and his response was, "Look, I'll concede. Right? If you have a brisa, you have a brisa, and I'm just going to concede the point. Peirashti ve'eino yodea ma peirashti yavi kiyom meruba tana kiyom shavishin shachag shachalios b'shabes. What is the day in which the maximum number of obligatory karbanos are brought? First day of Sukkot, coupled when it coincides with Shabbos. Right, our numbers for that day are 13 bulls, 14 sheep, 2 rams. 2 sheep for Shabbos, for the Musaf, 2 sheep for the Tamid, right? And then put all your Nesachim together for all those animals, and I believe the number we had was 61, right? 61 log of oil. Okay, let's pause over here. We have a new Mishnah coming up, right? This is the Mishnah which we already saw bits and pieces of. This is the Mishnah that's going to discuss now. Size of animal. Okay, we're going to talk tomorrow about different types of animals, different sizes of animals, right? Not that many animals make it to the Mizbeach, right? There are many, many kosher animals that actually are allowed to go on to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is really limited, but in that limited number of animals that go on the Mizbeach, we'll talk tomorrow, how does it conform to a netter that you made? Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. We get together tomorrow. Please get ready. Next week already, we finish Menachos. We're going to start.